Hi everyone. Thanks for joining. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, great. And I can hear you, Mark. Thanks. All right. And there's Stefan. Excellent. So people are still getting connected, so we'll just give it a minute or so and then get started. Let's see. Okay, I see our speaker is joining. Yay. Thanks for coming. And we will get started in a moment. Linda, is Linda Miller here? I am not seeing Linda. Is there someone who would be willing to do attendance today? If not, I can do it at some point in the meeting. Okay, I'll do that at some point while others
Oh,
are.
you have a volunteer, Sharon.
Oh,
We can
is it
chat.
in? Oh, I'm sorry. I don't have chat open. Thank you. Okay. Okay, Joshua, thank you so much. Appreciate that. All right. And that can happen at any point. Ah, familiar old faces. We've got Todd and Oxel here. Thank you so much for joining. All right. Thanks everybody for joining. I think this will be an interesting session. We're going to talk about some protecting your MetaDB data today. So let me start working through our normal announcements. Okay. As usual, this is one of our standard topics now. What topics would you like us to cover in the reporting SIG? Let me try to get chat open here so I can see that my there's a lot of my screen. Which you can add to chat or just, yes, getting the old gang back together for sure. We just need Ingolf. let's see. Okay. So if you have any topics that you'd like us to cover in the reporting SIG, please don't hesitate to reach out to me or to Scott. We are trying our best to tailor these meetings to subjects that are important to folks in anything reporting having to do with Folio. We'd love to hear from you. Impacts of new fields and features we'll hold off for a meeting soon. We'll talk about Ramzins and other updates. But we'll skip that topic for today. Upcoming topics, our next session, this 21st, we'll be talking about in-app reports. We'll have a demonstration of the Folio Finance apps and acquisitions apps in the acquisitions app in the list app, acquisitions reports, I guess, in the list app. We'll be doing a lot of in-app focus in finance for the next meeting. And then the next meeting after that is what is Folio reporting? Scott and I will talk about kind of an overview of reporting, all things folio and the kinds of things that people need to know about, and pulling in some more topics. We're working on some documentation for that. And then in August, we're looking at a focus on the reporting app. People are starting to implement reporting app reports, and there are a lot of questions, and there was a request for a training. So we want to focus on that in August. Okay. Our latest recordings, of course, are all there. Then SIG recruitment. So we are looking for a representative for the documentation working group. I think we have a volunteer. So I think Corey will be joining us on that. So that's wonderful news. And then querying developers, of course, we have an ongoing need. And the fact there was a question in today in the MetaDB Slack about adding the effective call number, I think, to the item
Effective
next.
shelving order.
Effective shelving order. Thank you. Okay. Yes. Others saw that as well. Thank you. To the item X derived tables. So there's always work that we need to do for testing and so forth. And to for the derived tables, those are done by the reporting community. I wanted to pop over to community priorities, dashboard development before we dig in on our topic. Do we have Jen here today? I was gonna just say either one of us can talk about this. But yeah, if she was here, I wanted to hand that over to her, but it looks like she is not here today. So I'll go ahead and cover this. This is I just wanted to make this make you aware of this. The product council is doing some nice work on priority development. And included in that are some MetaDB development points. So we have data array extraction with version 1.4 of MetaDB, and we have test versions of that already. I'm not sure if there's a full release of that yet, but I know there's a lot of testing happening. So we're getting close to 1.4 fully available. And then this has been added to priorities GDPR compliance, which we'll hear about more from Axel and Stefan today in terms of protecting users' data in the reporting database. And so that has been added as a priority for version 1.5 of MetaDB. So feel free to just delve into this further if you have any questions about that. But what we're seeing is Product Council kind of jumping in and gathering requirements in discussion with the SIGs and the SIG representatives. So they're pulling the SIG conveners in a little bit more to establish the priorities for development, which is great. So, any questions about that? Okay. All right. And then let's see, I think we can jump into our discussion. So, just a little preamble here. So, there's been a lot of work starting to happen with, I think Maccabee pretty much started us off in this direction with his proposal to add more granular permissions for users to MetaDB software. And that was done by index data developers. So, and then that was released. And there's been just a lot of discussion about how can we how should we be looking at data privacy with MetaDB, and how can we together steer development in a good direction for everyone? So that is the focus of the discussion today. So I've asked representatives from various universities to speak about that very informally. So this is more of a sort of a panel discussion, if you will, today, just so that we can start to unravel and brainstorm what it is that we need in terms of data privacy, data anonymization, user role access, all these things that safeguard our patron data that's in a MetaDB environment. And due to our interdependence, if you will, with Folio. There are points of interaction between Folio and MetaDB that control what data is anonymized and how private things are. So there's the issue of Folio permissions and the reporting app. We're starting to really, we have some points where we're intertwined. We also have some points where it's a separate issue. So if as we're going through, just I'll to make sure that we have that I can see any raised hands if we have any questions come up, but we'll try to get through our topics. I've just asked everyone to speak for, up to 5 minutes just to describe where their university is on all these issues and things that they're working on, thinking about, etc. And then we'll just go to open discussion and see if anybody has any other thoughts or questions. So our first speaker then from Stanford University is Josh Greben, and he'll be speaking from a Folio perspective. So thanks, Josh, for joining us to talk about this important issue.
Yeah, hi. Nice to be here.
If you can, welcome to share if you want. All the speakers are welcome to share if that's, helpful.
Yeah, let me go ahead and share this Folio Wiki page, and I'll put the link in the chat as well. Let me do that real quick if anyone wants to see it themselves. So basically, this isn't really for MetaDB, but this is, yeah, from the Folio perspective. We were working on the Folio Data Anonymization Project in order to be able to provide more robust bugfest data for or snapshot data for the public instance of Folio. And what we want to do is basically anonymize all our data so we can provide that and that there'll be more sort of a realistic, robust set of data available for testing and debugging. And as part of that, actually the main part of it really was at first to just do an analysis in order to find out what specific fields in the database had personally identifiable information and needed to be anonymized. So essentially, we just went through all the database tables and looked, and we came up with this spreadsheet here that where we decided. Basically, do we want to just preserve the data as is, meaning it doesn't have any PII in it? Do we need to anonymize the data? Can we delete the data? Meaning, it's not really necessary for the instance, and maybe it does have PII, but it's not necessary to preserve at all, to kind of have a working instance of Folio. And then this column here, column F, basically, if there's a specific field in the JSON data in the database that has the PII, what is it? So we can then later identify it and target it to be anonymized. And basically, yeah, this is the table. Some of the columns say MVP, which is basically, we didn't have enough time to actually implement all of this for the project. So we just did. And we didn't even do all the ones that say, unfortunately, have time to do all the ones that say MVP, but we did some of them. And what we ended up doing was we basically created a framework where we would create configurations that matched this spreadsheet that you would plug into a program that would then go and do all the anonymization. So we wouldn't have to basically do coding to every field in the database specifically. We just provide a special config that gave instructions to do the anonymization, whether it was the whole, data table, if it's just a data in a column, or if it was a JSON B specific JSON B field, it could target either of those. And that's basically it. Without going into the whole deep more details about the application and stuff, this is the main information for deciding what to anonymize and where the PII existed.
So, Josh, if just to speak to that with MetaDB, then if it's anonymized in Folio, when it synchronizes, I don't know if you've done any testing to see if it anonymizes the data in MetaDB once you have anonymized it in Folio or no?
Well, I would imagine. So what we did was we essentially we cloned the database, and then we worked off of a cloned database to do the anonymization. So I would imagine that we didn't get this far, but I would imagine that if you then pointed MetaDB at that and synced MetaDB with that data, it would be the essentially the same anonymized data in MetaDB.
And so, is this something that you're hoping to deploy for one of the upcoming releases, or just kind of working through it? Not, no timeline yet, or?
So we basically essentially we're going to we actually haven't gotten this far quite yet. We're almost there. We're gonna just basically create a dump of this and provide it to EBSCO to create a snap. Yeah, they would actually have to upgrade it, I think, because this was in our Quesnelia data.
Oh, sure.
Then it would need to be upgraded, and then an instance created out of this data. Going forward, we plan on, basically doing all of the data here, creating configurations for everything, and trying to have a full, complete database of anonymized data.
Are there areas where you've seen more of a need for anonymization than others?
Basically the ones that say MVP, and it just kind of depends, I guess, on your perspective of what. Obviously the user data is more important than, like there's organizations, and there might be, company emails and phone numbers in there. I guess you could argue some of that's public information. You can find that out anywhere. So do we really need to anonymize that versus, more strictly wanting to protect our own patron data would be, I would argue would be more important. But we were, pretty conservatively leaning on when we came up with this table on anything that could identify anybody. So that's what this table reflects, sort of the maximum protection of privacy to anybody, companies, emails, personal names, phone numbers.
So the goal is to give this to the development teams to use to be able to enable people to set anonymization or
So the
just.
goal was, let me actually call this up. So the goal is basically to complete, to kind of sort of complete this project. And this is the GitHub repo that we'll work off of, that the data that we came off of that spreadsheet. So if I were to just go in here, I can kind of show you the. And we use Apache Airflow as sort of the framework to do this. But under here, under config, so this is, we got to basically doing users and organizations. So for organizations, for example, this is what we'd have to do for all of the ones in that spreadsheet that basically have an anonymize check mark on it or X mark. Tell it where the JSON B data is. The table name or the JSON B data, or I don't know if this one actually has other than JSON B. Organizations only has data in JSON B. For users, similarly, JSON B.
Is that an internal link, or is that something you'd be comfortable with?
This GitHub repo, I'll put this in here. This is in the Folio,
Oh, okay, great.
folio.org. So yeah, we're doing this as part of, for the
Okay,
Folio
great.
community. Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. That's great.
So I'll plop this in there, and I don't want to take up, the whole time
Oh,
about
that's okay.
this.
Now, this is I you know when I learned about I think Todd let me know about Shelley Dolajek's work on this with you. And I just found it really interesting that because it it made me think, oh yes, you know, we have to look at this from a folio perspective as well. So I think this is really great work that you've been doing, and really appreciate your contributing that to the project. Do you have plans to sort of test this with MetaDB? I know that you're coming from the folio perspective, so I don't want to put you on the spot.
I haven't heard that, but I can see it, it could definitely go there. Once we get up, like have a
Okay.
working database working and pointed to an instance of Folio, and Shelley experimented with that a little bit. She basically, switched our development instance to point to this database, and she found some errors that needed to be corrected and stuff like that. But yeah, once you if you can point an instance of Folio and everything works correctly, then you could sync it with MetaDB
Okay.
and it should be the same.
Okay. Yeah, it would be really nice to have this tested to see what the results would be in the tables. So fantastic. Does anyone have any questions before we pop over to the next speaker? Because yeah, I want to make sure we move through this.
Just to clarify, if I understand that right, Josh. So this project is just to create an anonymization of a folio database to prepare, to be prepared to do any reportings on that, so that no privacy data is in there. It's not thought as a living folio environment, right?
So the snapshot environments that when you
Okay.
know go to you could go on there and anyone can go on there and test something on at the newest release. I think it's going to be used for that, so that there's
Okay.
not just a few users that people created by hand in there, that there would actually be tens of thousands of users in there, faculty, students, but none of the no one and they would all be based off of Stanford data, but all anonymized, so that no person from Stanford has their name in that instance, and it would be a complete robust testing environment for upgrades, for the UI testing, all that bug fest. That's the idea.
I see. Yeah. Thank you.
And for MetaDB, I suppose too. Once
Yeah.
you
It's interesting. Yeah.
Thank you for asking that, Oswald. So your goal has been to basically to create a clean snapshot that people can use without exposing your data. So that actually really helps for the anonymization as well. The goal of anonymizing data for institutions that need to do that. So.
And we've kind of scratched the surface on it, but
Yeah.
it's there's still just quite a bit of work to do, so we're hoping to get there in the next year or so.
Very good. Very good.
Right.
Okay. All
You're
right. Thank you so much.
welcome.
Any other questions before we move on? Okay. All right. And we'll have a chance to come back and see if there are questions when folks are done. All right. Thank you, Josh. Next, we have Mark Kenny from Lehigh University. So thank you again, Mark, because you did a fantastic presentation last meeting. So appreciate seeing you again. Thank you. If
Oh,
you want to
thank you.
share, feel free to share if you want to.
I
It's up to you.
will.
Okay, thanks.
I'm actually representing Maccabee today. He's at the technical council meeting, so he was unable to attend this meeting, but he gave me a document and a few points to share. Let me share my screen. And I will post the link.
Thank you.
So, as you may remember, Maccabee joined this meeting back in April, and he convened a working group to talk about data access in MetaDB. And as a result of those conversations, there's this very short document
Three quick points. Folio itself has fine-grained access control where each application has its own read permissions. This is presumably because various Folio data may be sensitive. CERC history, financials, account credentials. Currently, in both MetaDB schemas and the Folio reporting app, a user can be given read access to either all Folio data or no Folio data, and there's no middle ground options. Therefore, providing a user with any access to MetaDB via database or the reporting app effectively voids any configured access controls since they can read all schemas. So Maccabee says that MetaDB 1.4, which allows you to grant revoke on individual tables, is a nice first step towards narrower data access, but it doesn't address most of which is still in the document and waiting for a reply. Currently, in both MetaDB and Folio reporting app, a user can be given read access to either all data or no data. Those were his points from on data access. Unfortunately, he's not here to handle follow-up questions, but and then on the topic of data anonymization, we are very interested in anonymization, and we were one of our goals for this upcoming year is to make some progress on data retention practices. But at this point, we're still at the very beginning of our fact finding. And we don't want to be on the cutting edge in this endeavor because of data concerns. So we'd like to follow some established path and learn from the experience of those who are further along than us, what they did, how they did it, and anything that they would do differently. From a resource access point of view, which is my area, one feature that I'd like to see in terms of data retention is a way for a patron to be able to log in to their library account and then decide to purge their own history of loans and requests in an unmediated fashion. So that's what I have to present this morning.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate your backing up Maccabee. So we saw a version, one of the most recent versions of MetaDB software released with that functionality to grant or revoke access to schemas, right?
1.4 looks like it's individual tables. You can grant revoke. I don't know that it's at the schema level.
Okay, so I wasn't sure what version,
I
139 or
do have
something
the
like that. Yeah.
link to the documents for 1.4. Let's see.
Oh, thank you. Okay, I will add that to our notes. Thank you so much, Mark. Any questions for folks? So you might, if you're curious about this, you might want to take a look. I'm popping the links into the agenda if you need them. So that's wonderful. Thank you. Any other follow-up questions, comments? Okay, thank you, Mark. So next on the agenda is Texas A&M, Andrew.
Howdy.
Hi. Feel free to share if you'd like to, or you don't have to if you don't want to.
I don't have any screens that would be helpful for
Okay.
AI.
Okay.
So we were concerned. We were on LDP and we noticed that our anonymization was not holding in our history. We anonymized our loans a set period after check-in, but the history schema was recording those changes and the prior values. So while Folio had been anonymized properly, the reporting database still had everything forever. We were in the process of figuring out what to do about that, but now we are in the process of moving to MetaDB, and that problem seems to have changed enough that the prior work is no longer relevant. So, as we are right now moving to MetaDB, we haven't been able to develop a strategy for anonymizing the reporting database yet. But we are doing that as we do the migration. We're looking for how to make sure it works going forward. A&M's privacy policy, we try to keep loan information for, I believe it's 30 days after check-in, so that we can, if we find evidence of damage in the book after it's been checked in, we can still go back and charge appropriately. Which unfortunately means we can't avail ourselves of the anonymize on check-in option. So we are probably going to end up developing some custom SQL to handle the problem and then running it daily or something. At least that's our approach to it. Most of our privacy concerns were towards circulation data. Towards circulation data because we intend to keep quite a bit of PII in Folio, names, email addresses, addresses to send notices to. We're just trying to control who has access and then not retain things that we don't intend to retain. That's all I've got.
Okay, thank you, Andrew. Any questions for Andrew? Any follow-up comments, questions? Okay, that's Texas A&M. So you're moving to MetaDB just now, and that's great. Okay, that's yeah, we had the same experience with history. So we'll tell you about that in a little bit. Okay, next up is Todd Olson from University of Chicago. And Todd, would you like to share or do you want to?
I did not prepare slides.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Speak from
Okay.
some outline.
Yep.
So for us, the main sensitive data in Folio, as I under well, my understanding of the main sensitive data in Folio is PII. We have donor financial information in there, and we have licenses and purchase costs. So those are the university considers these sensitive for different reasons. And we, in talking with Christy, haven't had a chance to talk with Scott about this. He's on vacation, otherwise he would have been doing this. We're not feeling a lot of pain points around those items. We have a fairly limited access to MetaDB, and for with people who have business reasons and have some reason to trust that they are, that they'll handle data appropriately. But even so, where we're finding the pain points is more in the local schema that we use for stitching together other kinds of information. And I mean, I suppose this is a place where I see that Lauren Schiller is on the call, and she might have been able to speak to this better than I can, because she's closer to these issues. But so we have local local schemata defined that support workflow from different units. And there is some, I mean, there's the business of protecting sensitive data that like one unit might be processing that another unit might not need. Then there's also the business of just protecting process data from accidents. And that I think is really the bigger thing for us. You've got some tables that get created as part of business opportunity, as part of operations, and maybe one unit's creating the data as part of their workflow, but another unit needs to refer to it. And that means having to manage the permissions for different groups across different schema, across different schemata. And that's a fairly high overhead, even with the current, even with the new functions. Okay. Laura is disavowing dealing with the privacy projects, but confirms stitching together various forms of information. Thank you. So one of the particular things we run into is you have tables that you create as part of workflow, and you need to share them between units. And every time you create the tables, but then the next time you run the workflow, you need to recreate the tables. And that means having to reassign the permissions as part of that workflow, like every time you recreate a table. And that makes it, I mean, that contributes to the difficulty of sharing between tables between groups and roles. For example, we have a technical services schema, TS schema, and our access services people need to refer to that for some of their workflows. Well, the simple solution would be to make all of the access services people who need to refer to the technical services data just make them members of that TS group or give them the TS role. Well, so now we're back to, everyone has the same, has the same role or the same permissions. So anyhow, that's the kind of difficulty we're having. And some more manageable way of having local control of what's available for reporting and how we share that between groups would be desirable.
Excellent. Thank you, Todd. Any questions, follow-up comments, thoughts on that? Laura, thank you. I just added your link to the information about the grant revoke functionality that's now available in the MetaDB software. So thank you so much.
I might just ask, are other people using additional local schemata in MetaDB as ways to coordinate workflows?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
We have several.
So this is not unfamiliar, at least to
No.
some.
No. For that, it's, just permissions management, but, it's pretty open. Let's see, we have a question from Andrew. Is everyone treating PII and FERPA differently? I don't know. I think we have to start to document how different institutions are treating those issues. We know that institutions in Europe need to follow GDPR, which places certain restrictions. And, we at FERPA is more of a United States type thing. So I would imagine the answer is yes. People are treating those things a little differently, but there are also some shared goals, I think. Anyone else want to take a crack at that question? Is everyone treating PII and FERPA differently?
I can chime in. get in touch from Chicago. We are not at the point of doing purging old data. Now at a university level, we have there are policies about how people access data, and we're kind of like at a practical level, we're sort of leaning on the policy and the fact that we don't have MetaDB broadly open. But yeah, controlling that is an interesting question. So we're treating the need to protect PII and FERPA data. We're currently treating it as a matter of both limiting access and encouraging, responsible use. I mean, our university policies are very clear on this, but we are not currently treating it as a expunge data for which we no longer have a business purpose. I think we're have some challenges defining that, drawing blocks around that at the moment.
Thank you. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Todd. Appreciate University of Chicago's perspective on that. We have Stefan and Axel here from the D Reporting Group, Consortium of German Universities. And so it, if you would you like to share or
No, we don't have.
okay. It's okay. No worries.
Hi everyone, and Axel and I are giving a little insight into the dereporting situation today. So the dereporting is a subworking group of the reporting SIG, and we discuss special topics from German-speaking countries. And Germany is located within the European Union. And in this context, our systems must be configured in accordance with the GDPR, or corresponding processes must be integrated. So, for this reason, we as dereporting are very interested in the GDPR feature of MetaDB. And the feature I know is listed in the prioritization dashboard from the product council with the version 1.5. So you need to know the most institution are now beginning to examine the possibilities of reporting, because they are now starting to use for your productivity. So this means the most people are still waiting. So, and after that, the software is tested. If necessary, further requirements are created. So our proposal could be that we work this out via the dereporting and bring this up in the next meetings of the reporting SIG, maybe in the next year. But what we would definitely like to see are content permissions similar to the Lists app in the reporting app.
For MetaDB?
Yes,
Yeah.
yes. Maybe in combination with the reporting app. So, and yeah, and now I think Axel can give us a report on an example.
It's not that much, but the other way around is that at this point we don't have a really live MetaDB in Germany. Although we have some universities, including Mainz, that are live already, but we get pushbacks from our networks who are hosting the Folio instances, and they say, without the GDPR, we have too many concerns to even test these platform. So this was So this puts the GDPR compliance in a very prominent place for us to emphasize that we really need this in MetaDB before we move on to that. We are we on the on the on the sides of the university libraries, we are really looking forward to use MetaDB. But at this point, we are such struggles with the implementation itself, so that the reporting falls down a little bit off the plate. At this point, we are helping ourselves with a list app or with doing queries directly in the database. But it's not that much, and we say we will have no reports for 1 year at this point. So this is a bit an insight of the ones who are alive at the moment. I know Bremen went live at the beginning of the year, and they are helping themselves with LD Lite. They're doing a lot of things with LD Lite, and so they are really and this is a local database, and they so GDPR is not that a big topic on there. But if we are using MetaDB, it's really good to have it to have a good schema or a good process to prevent to get the PII data directly into that, because this is a streaming there's a streaming process now on there, and so it's better to prevent it to get the data in there before it's there, and before you need to delete it afterwards. So I think this is more, and I really appreciate the work from Josh and Shelley, which points us which are the data and could really is really useful for all the people who wants to get their own schema, what data should be protected to get in or protected or should be anonymized before it's get to it's getting into to MetaDB.
Thank you, Axel. I just want to sneak this in. So the LDP GDPR didn't meet your needs, or was it just not fully developed for GDPR? Just the old LDP software.
No, I think the old LDP was not able. The most of us went live with Casnelia, and LDP. I don't know if LDP is also used for Casnelia at this point. But yeah, I thought I think LDP is not was not. Yeah, that great in the depth of the data that we wanted to have at this point.
So you're really looking for that GDPR compliance in MetaDB 1.5. Yeah. Excellent. Well, I think that could help all of us. All right. Anything else? Stefan, anything else to add to that?
Nope.
Okay. Anybody have any questions? And we're sort of making an assumption here that folks know what GDPR compliance means. So we would have to spend a whole session explaining that, I think. But so I just you can take a look. I'm sure it's defined very well on the web, so you can find that information. But this is a requirement for our European institutions, so to protect user data. So, okay, thank you. All right. Next, we have Joanne and myself talking about Cornell's experience. Joanne, did you want us to share any? What should we just talk from our notes?
Sorry, I was muted. We can talk from our notes.
I mean, if you want to share, go right ahead. But I
Okay.
think we just need to look at our notes as we're
Okay.
talking.
Okay, great. So yeah, just to start that off, the Cornell Library has a commitment to data privacy through its policy, and its commitment to privacy policies require that the privacy of all patrons of library materials don't, and so you can't reveal the names of individual borrowers or the materials that have been charged those borrowers, except if it's required by law. So within that, for MetaDB, we've been identifying areas where patron data might be exposed and trying to find ways to limit access to data with patron identifiers. So as we all work at different institutions on this challenge for the MetaDB software, it's helpful because we can share information where we're seeing that. So Joanne, yeah.
Well, as other people have pointed out on this call, the patron information can be just the patron information. For example, I'm talking about MetaDB now, that is contained in the users table, but there's plenty of other information out there that is contained in other tables, other schemas. And first thing we did is we tried to identify where the most vulnerable information was located. And we found like basically three areas that was the biggest chunk. Loans, requests, and fees and fines. And the loans table, which was, we thought of that as the biggest, most important one. Loans information was contained in the folio circulation schema for the loans tables, and also the audit loans tables was contained in the audit schema, which has the circulation logs tables. And of course, from the derived tables, which we use a lot, that's the loans items table. And then we also found that the email schema, the folio email schema, had a table that contained patron information as it was recorded in various notices that were sent to the patrons. So this is kind of where we went to first. We decided that we would create some scripts that would purge the user ID from the two loan tables that had historical data, and that's the loan double underscore table and the loan double underscore T double underscore table. Now, those tables have both the current row, which is the current state of the record, of the transaction record, and then it has a whole bunch of historical rows. And as other people have mentioned, folio, you can go into folio settings and set it so that it purges the it will anonymize the user ID in the current version of a loan transaction. But that doesn't do anything for the historical transaction, the historical rows that are associated with that transaction. So what our scripts do is it purges the user ID from those historical records. Now, this is just a first step because we've got all kinds of other tables that have user IDs in them that's related to collection usage. The fine fees tables are the next one that we would probably attack. And Or rather, no, I should say the request tables are probably the next one that we would attack. And what we would want is to be able to purge the user ID from the historical requests. So if a request was placed and then subsequently closed, filled or closed or whatever, we would purge the user ID from those records. What we would not purge is the current, like if there is an open request, we would want to maintain that user ID in the record. The fine fees tables are more complicated, and it's kind of a can of worms with the fine fees tables. But that is something that we will also be looking at in terms of purging user IDs from fines that are forgiven or otherwise closed. And for us, that means bursared. So anything that has already been taken care of, we want to be able to identify them and purge the user ID from them. And it would be great if in the next versions of Folio, this anonymization could automatically take place and therefore would transfer to MetaDB. But as it is now, we just have to do what we can. And the first step that we've undertaking is purging the user ID from historical rows in the loans table. And that script is run once a week. So it's not perfect. Obviously, we still have records that are unpurged, that are a week old, that are up to a week old, that are closed. But that's the best we can do at the moment. So that's pretty much it. Sharon, do you want to say anything else about this?
Sure. So we have a small group, and Jen Colt and Tom Trutt are working with us. And Tom's here today. Thanks, Tom, for joining and really helping us to look at this challenge. And just to wrap up, Cornell's strategies for addressing this are basically to look at the MetaDB software and to try that out to see, okay, if we grant or revoke access to tables and schemas, is that going to meet our needs? To reduce the number of reporting database users that we have by automating more reports, building more dashboards, running and delivering report requests for users so that there are fewer users in the database exposed to that patron data. And protecting sensitive data with secure access where we can, and continuing to look at the Folio side and encouraging the development of features that will anonymize from the Folio application. If the Folio application would provide a way to anonymize historical data in MetaDB, or if there is some kind of setting for that somewhere, that would be really helpful, because just as Temu did, and just as other institutions have discovered, it's that historical data that captures the patron identifiers that we have that we're trying to protect. And we'd rather not run purge scripts because of, concerns about data integrity. So, but that is a sort of a last-ditch effort that we must protect our data privacy. We must protect our patron privacy. So that was something that, we just had to do. We're excited about participating in with other institutions to take a look at this and see if we can protect data in ways that help benefit all institutions. So that's Cornell's perspective. And thank you so much, Joanne. Any questions, thoughts? Okay. So we're almost to end of time, and just want to wrap up. What's important about this meeting is, I think, where do we go from here? And thank you so much for all the representatives speaking from different institutions. What I'd like to do is to create a small group to work on data privacy and MetaDB. Probably no surprise there, because I think, we have some follow-up work to do here, and that could be a good way to position what the priorities are for developers, both in Folio and MetaDB, to move forward. The privacy SIG. There's been some talk about that, Cornell at least. Not sure. I think they're looking for, Jen Colt was interested in starting up as looking for a co-convener. So if you'd like to co-convene that, I'm busy convening this, so I couldn't help, but I would be on the committee if it started. So data, that's a great place for this work to take place, but not sure if that's happening. So I thought, well, let's start a small group to focus on this to get a start on it. So we've done great projects before and in these small groups to work on issues like this. So I'll put out a call for folks who'd like to join the small group. If you know right now that you want to join, you can shoot me a message. I think it would be good for us to start looking at this and work together to prioritize and hope, in some ways brainstorm about what solutions would look like for data privacy for MetaDB. So any other parting thoughts? We're at 12 o'clock. Okay, thanks so much, everyone. This was really helpful, and I'll see you at the next reporting meeting. All right, take care. Have a good rest of your day.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Good to see many of you again.
Good Bye-bye. To see you. Take care.